Deep in the farthest recesses of the most distant jungle lies a city. A city populated by the most mysterious, terrifying, and downright grotesque denizens ever seen by mortal eye. Here, in the darkened corners of this cavernous locale, sits an ordinary, average brick building with an innocuous, ordinary, average blinking neon sign which reads, On Air. It is here where each week, Seth Breedlove and Mark Matzke convene to discuss the greatest mysteries the world has ever known. Now, strap on your hiking boots, grab your trusty walking stick, and don't forget the bug spray as we begin our journey through Monsteropolis.
Hey guys, Seth here. You are listening to Monsteropolis, a show about anomalies, legends, and monsters. You're about to hear the show start, and Mark and I discuss the upcoming Mysteries and Monsters at the Canton Palace Theater event. That event has been delayed due to the coronavirus, and the new date is Sunday, April 26th. So all the details of the event remain the same. The only difference is we've had to push the date back to the 26th of April. So if you're looking to come or you already bought tickets, just be aware the event was scheduled for next weekend. It's now scheduled for Sunday, the 26th of April. All the details of the event, as far as we know, as of right now, remain the same, including Shannon LeGros and Lyle Blackburn being a part of it. So we're excited to hopefully get to that event and make it through this insanity with the virus that's rampaging across the globe. I'm sorry, around the flat disc. Thanks. Hey, we're back. This is Monsteropolis, a show about allegedly. A show about legends, anomalies, monsters. I'm one of your hosts. My name is Seth Breedlove. I'm joined as always, almost days, by my pal, Mark Matzke.
Hello.
It's too early to drink, so we're not doing that.
Yeah, this is like, all natural.
Yeah, this is super natural. What do I do?
What's the thing that I do?
Okay, so next weekend, is that right by the time this comes out? Next weekend?
Yeah.
Next weekend, Saturday, September 21st at the Canton Palace Theater on the Mysteries and Monsters at the Canton Palace Theater. Allegedly. Mysteries and Monsters at the Canton Palace Theater taking place all day. Tickets $12. Speakers include Shannon LeGros and Lyle Blackburn. The world premiere of On the Trail of UFOs, as well as screenings of Minerva Monster and the Flatwoods Monster, A Legacy of Fear. Listen to the last episode if you want to catch the schedule. I'm not going to do that again. Or go on our Facebook page, and we're posting all that stuff as well.
You can rap with us.
Yeah, you can come rap with us. There are Q&As taking place after pretty much all three of the screenings, so you can talk to members of the Small Town Monsters crew. You can also meet STM's own Alexander Petikov, who will be in town for this event. Alex directed On the Trail of Champ and features prominently in On the Trail of UFOs, especially in episode 3, episode 4, and again in episode 7. So you can come meet Alex. You can come meet the STM crew. The Minerva Monster Q&A should be pretty awesome. We have James Shannon, who was the deputy who investigated the Minerva Monster case. He's going to be with us, so we can take questions about the movie making or about the case itself, the Minerva case itself. So tickets $12, CantonPalaceTheater.org. If you want to just attend On the Trail of UFOs premiere, those tickets are $6.
Can you imagine how episode 7 is going to look on that screen?
No, I'm really excited about
that. I can't wait to see that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be pretty spectacular.
I want to go to the White Mountains.
I want to go back. It's on my list of going. It was actually what I thought would have been fun would have been to go for On the Trail of Bigfoot season two. But I think we're going to push that to season three. But yeah, come out for Mysteries and Monsters. The other thing I got to mention real quick, the day before the Canton Palace Theater event is the official premiere date of On the Trail of UFOs. So if you have Amazon or Vimeo on demand, you can watch it on those platforms. We are in talks to get a much wider release for On the Trail of UFOs as well, but more information will be coming on that later this year. But yeah, we would love to hear people's response to this. The advanced digital screeners are going out in the next week or so. So people can look forward to getting those. I think that's
There's the dinner. Did you want to tease the dinner?
We're going to do...
Where are we going, by the way? Dude?
Well, we're going here in Wadsworth, so it's going to end up being probably the Mexican place because they have a whole area in the back we could probably take up. Tailgaters packs out on Friday night.
Yeah,
that would probably fall through. And other
the bowling crowd shows up.
There really isn't much to do in Wadsworth. Not many options. So we'll probably end up at Mexican on Friday night before the Mysteries and Monsters event. So if you're in the area and you want to come hang out with us, we're going to do dinner on Friday night, the 20th.
But you have to let Seth know.
Yeah, you got to basically DM me or email us at monsteropolismail@gmail.com and let us know you're coming, and we'll get you the info on where we're going and when. So, but On the Trail of UFOs, if you want to get copies on DVD or Blu-ray, hit up smalltownmonsters.com. The Blu-rays are beautiful. I got to test screen the Blu-rays, and actually the Canton Palace Theater has those right now. So I ran those down last week. So Blu-rays or DVDs you can get at smalltownmonsters.com. There is a 22-minute behind the scenes featurette that I cut for that as well. I don't know. Did you watch that?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you like that?
I did like it.
Okay. Originally, I don't think we... Because with the other On the Trail of stuff, there really wasn't much of anything in the way of behind the scenes, but I was able to cut this 21-minute featurette.
And it was different than other featurettes that have been on.
Yeah, it was more like an episode of On the Trail of Bigfoot.
Yeah, it really was. I liked that little narrative.
Yeah, so check it out. And I highly recommend getting the Blu-ray. It'll also give us an indication if that's a format people want to see us do more with. So,
and all the titles are on DVD at least.
Yeah. Every title.
That's a question I've seen come up online, like on Facebook and other venues just as of late.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah. Everything's on DVD all the way back to Minerva. Every single title. The only thing that has never been put on DVD is Case Files. And mostly the reason is that there are two episodes of Case Files that at some point I need to get to. One of them is a Kecksburg centric episode. We interviewed someone who was a witness. And this was completely separately from Invasion on Chestnut Ridge. We literally interviewed this person solely for Case Files, and then I never cut the episode. So we got to get to that, and we got to get to the Flatwoods Monster episode I have as well. So once we get those two, we'll probably do some sort of DVD set collecting all of Case Files. That would be my hope anyway. Kickstarter successfully funded. Thank you to everyone that backed, obviously. This week's episode is starting in a second. For now, we're going to read a letter.
Well, I think can confidently say that this is the first piece of physical mail Monsteropolis has received from Japan.
Wow. Might be the first piece of
physical
mail.
Yeah.
I'm yawning into the mic.
So this is, I'll just let the letter. First of all, I'll say this. This is from... our pal Sky from Japan. And he sent us, in addition to this letter, some Ultraman stuff that he picked up in a secondhand store that's throughout Japan called Mandarake. We got some vinyl LPs and fan magazines and stuff. It's really unbelievable. I'm still geeking out about that. So along with all of the goodies, he sent the following letter. Hey, Monster Boys. Sky from Japan here. Recently, I watched Jeremy Corbell's documentary, Hunt for the Skinwalker. I've also since started reading the book it's based on by George Knapp under the same name. I'm curious of your thoughts on Skinwalker Ranch and if you have any opinions on either the book and or doc. I find it fascinating that there's such a diverse range of phenomena at work in Utah. UFOs, Bigfoot-like beings, blue and yellowish orbs, poltergeist trickery, cattle mutilations, portal rifts, animal disappearances, and more. I find the baby calf splayed and exsanguinated to be one of the most compelling because it happened with snowfall and there wasn't blood anywhere. Now, I can't make heads or tails of orbs and poltergeists, but I trust Knapp's reporting. I just wonder who or what is causing all that chaos. Hope to hear your thoughts, and I look forward to STM and Monsteropolis's future. Can't wait for the Kickstarter rewards to roll out. Thanks, guys. Take care. Your pal, Sky. And he is at Squatch LIF on Twitter.
Nice. Thank you. So I haven't read the book yet, and I need to. Funny story, though. I don't know that we've talked about this too much. I know I've mentioned it somewhere, but I can't remember where. Originally, Flatwoods was going to be a Skinwalker Ranch movie. Was it Flatwoods? Yeah, it was Flatwoods that was going to be a Skinwalker Ranch movie. And I contacted George Knapp, and I was as far as starting to do sort of preliminary research into it. And when I contacted Knapp, he was kind enough to get back to me immediately. But like he said, I'm already working on another doc, and that ended up being the Corbell doc. Mm-hmm. And when I found out there was another doc, I obviously stepped away because, unlike a lot of people in this, I don't really like treading on water that's already been tread. Road? Never mind. Anyway, we were going to do a Skinwalker Ranch movie. Is this the show where I just establish myself as a complete moron? This is like, it's the worst. So that's a little bit of behind the scenes trivia. At one point, like, we were going to do a Skinwalker movie, and we get asked a lot about, I think, Skinwalker Ranch and Jersey Devil. We are the two that we get asked the most frequently for planning on diving into at some point. I have not read Knapp's book yet. I'm assuming you have because you've read everything. Mm-hmm. I did see the movie. I didn't care for the movie. I did like the portions of the movie that were Knapp's documentary. And I actually would have just preferred to watch Knapp's documentary about Skinwalker Ranch. My frustration with the movie is mostly from the fact that I still feel like I have no idea what actually happened at Skinwalker Ranch. It's a very, storytelling wise, it's not clear. Nothing is very clear in that movie. It's just sort of like there's a bunch of information just thrown out there. And it focuses very heavily on the filmmaker himself, which is a pet peeve of mine, and one that he keeps insisting on inserting into his films. Did you see Lazar?
Oh, yeah.
Did you?
Yes. Andy and I watched it.
Yeah. Andy. What did he say?
Yeah, no, I won't speak for Andy. Okay.
Wow, yeah.
But I will say I loved the part where it was like, where it was Lazar in his workshop.
Yeah, yeah.
That was fascinating.
Well, I think Lazar is the strongest of the movies he's made that I've seen. It just, again, it spends too much time on him and not on the actual subject of the story.
Yeah. Well, you're right. I did read the book. And the way that I heard about the book was hearing Knapp, and I think Kelleher was on with him, who is the co-author on Coast to Coast AM. And the thing that grabbed my attention about the Skinwalker story is that it unsettled me in a way that a lot of these topics don't. I mean, I like it. I'm interested, and I like the imagination stuff that happens when you listen to these stories, but it's not often that I get genuinely unsettled by it. But Skinwalker did a little bit because there's so many elements of implied threat, mm-hmm. you know, with like the wolf appearing to this family and like the actual, like Sky mentioned in his letter. I mean, there's animals that were harmed, mm-hmm. and there's a overall trickster element to the entire thing,
right.
that I think is the most unsettling part, which, you know, when you examine all of this stew of weirdness together, you get the impression that it may not be malevolent necessarily or evil, in nature, but it certainly seems like whatever is behind all of these things just delight in messing with whoever's close enough to witness it.
Mm-hmm.
And in that regard, it lines up a lot with John Keel's theories of the ultra-terrestrials and what they want, what they're doing, what they're up to is just amounts to playing around with human beings out of a sense of amusement or something. And I got that impression. But I you know, just everything, there's everything in this one location. I mean, portals opening look like tubes and a Bigfoot creature appears to army crawl
cattle,
out of it.
Cattle being moved.
Yeah.
That's some of the weirder stuff.
That is super weird. And that's one of the things that I wasn't expecting. Yeah, I've never heard of that before, I guess. And that's partially what bugged me about it as well, that mm-hmm. you'd take these large ranch cattle and like fit them, squish them into this trailer or this very small enclosed space.
Mm-hmm.
For what? I mean, why?
Yeah.
Who would do this? And even to, there's like a report of an RV-sized rectangular object floating silently, landing on the ground, taking off again. So you've got almost everything that you can think of
mm-hmm.
that we designate as paranormal or supernatural in one place. And I think the strength of the book is that there is sort of a cogent narrative to this, where it goes into the NIDS group and how it was funded and fact that it was there specifically to try to quantify some of this. And it's the classic story of once you've got a people there actively researching it, it all goes away.
Yeah. Is that where we're at now? It's all gone away?
As far as I know.
Okay.
Because, you know, the NIDS group that was researching, you know, I don't know if they lost interest or ran out of funding or what, but mm-hmm. they left. It's my understanding that the ranch has changed hands maybe once or twice. As far as I know, I don't know that that's continuing.
We need to do it in an episode on window areas. We've done triangles. We did the triangle. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's how this all started. But it'd be fun to talk about like Stardust Ranch and Skinwalker mm-hmm. and Chestnut Ridge a little bit more. Chestnut Ridge, something I want to do is get the weirdest reports Stan's taken and try to triangulate those. Like figure out where they're all. Like we say the Chestnut Ridge, but the Chestnut Ridge is 72 miles long. Where's the weirdest stuff happening? Is it like literally spread out along the ridge, or is there one particular area where there's a concentration of reports on the ridge, and then focus on that mm-hmm. area? Like go there, stay for a week and do something like make an on the trail of or something.
Yeah.
That's something I would like to do.
That's a great idea.
Yeah. Get like some of our researcher buddies together and mm-hmm. like go like maybe like stay in different spots around the mm-hmm. ridge and each night go out and investigate.
Have Stan make a crock pot of meatballs
for us.
But yeah, I mean, I guess to answer Sky's question, I have as many answers to the phenomena as anyone else, but hearing Knapp on that particular program and then reading the book made me a Knapp fan.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, he's can't miss when he's on coast. You know, I'm ready to listen to whatever he's talking about. And he's all over the map as far as guests go. But his UFO stuff in particular is really good. And I feel like he thinks he's at the point where he's said everything that he can say about Skinwalker. To his credit, it's not something he revisits constantly and says, remember, I'm the guy who wrote the Skinwalker book. But it's the weird one, probably the one weirdest location. If you buy into all the things that were reported there as having happened, I'm sure there's a lot there to be said about the Uinta Basin and Native American ideas.
Yeah, the history of that
area.
I'm
not sure that's ever been explored.
Yeah,
in any great detail.
Definitely not with that movie. This episode is about, honestly, at this point, we probably talked more about Skinwalker than we're going to talk about what the subject of the episode is. But this episode is about an announcement that we recently made. And I think there's probably no better person to dive into that with than Mark Matzke. So when was that? Last week or the week before? that we posted the image. I can't remember. I think it was last week.
Last week, yes.
Last week, we posted a teaser image that just said On the Trail of Bigfoot 2. So On the Trail of Bigfoot Season 2 is coming. Any listeners of the show already know this because we've kind of been alluding or just straight up saying it for weeks now. But On the Trail of Bigfoot Season 2 kicks off filming probably in the next few weeks. But we're going to the big trip, I think we probably are going to want to talk about it right at the top and maybe like what we're looking forward to. I don't know how we're going to do this, but like maybe what we're looking forward to and like some of what we want to do with the series that's different or sets it apart from season one. First of all, what I don't know that people know this. I think if you listen or have listened to interviews or something with Mark or I, you probably do have some sense of this, but On the Trail of Bigfoot is basically the biggest thing we've done in terms of viewer numbers alone. The Mothman of Point Pleasant is the only thing that we've made that remotely competes with On the Trail of Bigfoot season one. And I don't know why. To this day, I can't wrap my brain around the fact that On the Trail of Bigfoot season one had the reach it did and still does. I actually checked Amazon numbers the other day and it's still hundreds of thousands of views coming in on Amazon.
Jeez.
And so I don't know what it is, but
that got me a Boy Scout gig, you know.
Yeah, a big Boy Scout. We should just talk to them about that. I forgot to ask you how that went.
It went great.
Did it?
It was really well received. Yeah, it was a packed house.
Oh, like, awesome.
Because it was all the scouts plus their parents seemed to be
into it.
Way into
how many?
It.
How many people?
I bet there was between 50 and 60 people. 1,000?
Oh. This
There was that Rocket Mortgage.
Yeah.
Rocket Mortgage. Did I tell you that's where it was?
No, I would have come.
But yeah, it was cool. And what it did for me, and this ties in, is I did a little very, very small PowerPoint, basically photo gallery. And a lot of it was focused on the Trail of Bigfoot because that's how this guy heard of me in the first place.
Oh, really?
And thought to get in touch with me
that's awesome.
Was through the show. And it took me back to that trip and what they were, you know, what I figured Boy Scouts would be interested in was the hikes and the outdoor element of that. And what I was able to show them of the trail maps to a southern portion of Mount St. Helens, and the Ape Canyon trailhead. They were really, really interested in that part. And
as time goes really on, cool. I wish there was a way I could only make On the Trail of Bigfoot. I wish that was my focus, like just going out and planning each season out and doing like 20 episodes and you go out and like, that's what you do for the year is like you different trips around the country and go or world. And anyway, so the big trip, the one that I think we're probably most looking forward to or most amped up about right now is the British Columbia, which is as of right now, it's going to be a boat trip. We are locked into this boat expedition with Stephen Major of Extreme
Expeditions. LLC.
And
do you know I have a Port Chatham hat?
From them?
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I bought it out there.
Oh, at IBC. Yeah.
I'll be rocking that.
So yeah, we're gonna go to British Columbia. It sounds like we're going up the coast, and we'll be staying overnight in various areas around the coast. And I do know from talking to him somewhat, there's going to be a tribal element to this. We're going to be interviewing tribal members and talking about sort of I don't know what we're going to be talking about. I mean, that's like a big part of this is it's going to be my intention here is to make it pretty different structurally from On the Trail of Bigfoot season one. On the Trail of Bigfoot season one was pretty much a history. The first three episodes are a history of the subject. And then the last three are sort of a dive into the phenomenon, you know, like the different aspects of it. I think what I want to do with season two is make it more like episode five, where episode five is entirely about Area X and those guys. That's kind of what I want to do with the entire thing from now on. And part of that is just that Bigfoot is really different from UFOs. The UFOs on the Trail of UFOs season one, we do 8 episodes that are we delve into all the different, not all the different, but a few of the different topics of ufology. And we're able to do that in 8 episodes and still come away from it feeling like we didn't even scratch the mm-hmm. surface of getting into anything.
Yeah.
With Bigfoot, I feel like in that first season, we kind of covered the big topics. So now it's time to do something a little different. And I think people really responded to, there's 2 episodes people really respond to. And they're both, if you think about it, centrally located to one area, and that's what they're about. Episode 5 with Area X and episode 2 with the Pacific Northwest. And that's what, mm-hmm. those are the 2 biggest episodes. Those are the ones that people keep going back to. And that gives me sort of a mandate to follow, like some sort of, this is what we need to be doing more of. So this season's going to be different from the last season in that each episode is going to be focused in one area, and we're going to, you know, do interview. Obviously there's going to be that historical element. But there's also going to be a much stronger investigative element, I think, especially with these British Columbia episodes, like one in, it's going to be a 2-parter, I think, is the plan here. And then it's a 6-episode season, just like season one was. But we're going to do the first 2 episodes are going to be British Columbia. And then the other trip that I know is going to happen is the Adirondacks and Whitehall, which I'm calling back to Whitehall. And then, I don't know, what do you think of what do you want to see? Or what do you want to do with the series?
Everything. What's so amazing to me is that, you know, the John Zada book that I recommended a couple episodes ago is exactly this area that we're talking about going to.
Oh, wow.
And after I read that book, I was like, that, you know I'll never see it out there. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure glad I read this book. And so I kind of made that comment in the email that I sent. I was like, are you kidding me? So I'm just super excited to see it. By boat, I think, is really important. Mm-hmm. Because, like, if you read Robert Alley's Raincoast Sasquatch, it's about Alaska, obviously, but it's all the same coastline. Mm-hmm. And there's such a preponderance of sightings that have happened from boats because you're able to observe the shoreline mm-hmm. of these places. And evidently, you know, these creatures are swimming around or splashing themselves in the water. And it just, I just can't imagine the footage that we're going to get mm-hmm. off of these inlets. And, you know, I don't know where we're going in, but like around Vancouver Island, just the deep history of the subject in these locations is incredible. But I think I'm most excited, as, you know, gobsmacked as I am about just seeing the terrain out there, the opportunity to talk to tribal members or even tribal elders mm-hmm. and demonstrate our interest in the subject and see what they are willing to talk about is a really special opportunity. I really hope that comes to fruition and that, you know, we can do that in the way that it sounds like we're going to get to do.
Yeah.
That's, I can't even say that's a dream come true because I didn't even think that would be possible. Mm-hmm. So really exciting stuff. You know, the idea that we could be maybe close to Harrison Hot Springs one day would mm-hmm. be super cool because of the John Green and Bob Titmus connections that exist there. I mean, that's, you're in the living history part of the whole topic, which is the most exciting thing for me.
Yeah, I think, there's something about Bigfoot that inspires other artistic or creative. It just gets me firing on a different level, I mm-hmm. think. I don't know what it is, but as soon as I started really thinking about, like, what do I want to do with this, I had numerous ideas, which is different from like a normal project. I sit down and you really have to like focus and start, you know, like, what do I want to draw from, like, what are we drawing from, mm-hmm. what are we trying to accomplish, what is the story? And this one, like, I sent you this weird stream of consciousness, like, series of notes, and then told you, you know, make sure I did. And it's super cornball, and I get it, like, what I sent you. But it's all, when I start thinking about the forest and mountains and nature, it's that and Bigfoot go hand in hand. It's different from something. It's interesting to film something like On the Trail of UFOs, which I love. And I had a great time. And it's like some of my favorite filming experiences. We're doing that, but there's something different that does not inspire me in the same way that Bigfoot and the nature and how they're intertwined. Mm-hmm. There's just something about it that I feel like allows me to be more of who I actually am creatively, which is a giant cornball. Like if you looked at the STM things that are most my voice, it's like, it's aspects of Beast of Whitehall with the cultural aspect of that film, and also like interviewing the Stones and Bones guy and like the mountains and mist and all that kind of stuff. And it's the music. It's like Brandon's music at the end. And, but then there's Terror in the Skies. And I always go back to Terror in the Skies because to me, that's the most me movie in our repertoire.
Treading the water.
And Bigfoot gets into it as well. Like on the trailer, Bigfoot season one gets into it as well. Like I find that's the stuff where I feel like I can be more myself creatively. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like as soon as I started looking at this, I started thinking of like Robert Frost, and then I used that poem that everyone uses wrong, but I still, I don't really care. I like that's the, what is that? What's it? The path, two paths in a woods. What's that thing called? What's the Robert Frost poem
called? The name of the poem?
Yeah, it's...
I forget.
Two paths diverged in a wood. Have you ever heard him read it?
No.
Oh, it's amazing. It's online. I was going to use that. I was going to make a teaser trailer and use it. I still might.
Yeah.
But anyway, it just gets me thinking differently. I know as a kid, I was... The first poet I ever read was Walt Whitman. I bought Leaves of Grass. Mm-hmm. And wait, Leaves of Glass or...
Grass.
Grass.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it kind of gets into, there's a lot about nature in there. Mm-hmm. And I think there's like right now I'm going back through the national parks, the Ken Burns National Parks doc series. And it's my third time in 4 years to watch the whole series. And Muir, like John, reading about or watching, learning about John Muir and like some of these people that have, that were just one with, like almost literally one with nature. Like they're living out in, in the forest. And it's weird that doesn't necessarily immediately evoke Bigfoot in my mind, but I feel like you cannot separate a love of nature and an interest in the Bigfoot topic for me. Like those two are just, they go together. Mm-hmm. And I'm probably going to push that much harder in season two.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's, I think that's one way in which you and I are very alike is just that sense of wanting to be in those places. Mm-hmm. Because it's just a qualitative difference between, you know, let's go hike at Salt Fork.
Yeah.
Or versus let's go to British Columbia and jump off the boat and hike an island. Mm-hmm. And I mean, in that regard, I mean, I'm starting to think in my own mind, talking about being inspired, but also just prepared, like maybe I should get in better shape before this trip.
That's literally what's happening here. Yeah. Like that's why I've gone on this zero carb thing for 4 weeks now.
Because it sounds like it's going to be
intense.
You know, intense and somewhat demanding. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, I think we're up for it, but you have to go into it a little bit mindfully as well.
Because
it is, and I guess that is the thing that, you know, what On the Trail of Bigfoot first season really does capture well is I think sort of that adventuring spirit along with the national parks history and just the almost like that like 50s and 60s sense of get out and see the country and you know go see for yourself. I think you and I are both pretty big on that concept of there comes a time where you have to just go to these places and a picture is not enough.
Well, I feel like there's a healing. This is going to get super hokey, but there is a healing aspect to nature that is almost supernatural. for your spirit, I can't even count the amount of times I've been down or like going through depression or something, and you would go. I'd go for a hike and feel like immeasurably better. Mm-hmm. And I think what the series is going, so everything we do is about something, whether people realize it or not, there's some sort of underlying theme that's in my head when I'm making it. And I think for me, it's this, and honestly, it's in UFOs too. But the world is in a really weird place right now. I'd say a bad place with the way people treat one another, with the way there's the anxiety is through the roof. You've got coronavirus rampaging around the globe now. I'm sorry, across the disc now. You've got people are constantly worried about like what nuclear war we're going to get involved in. The big thing right now on my timeline has been everyone sharing this article about an asteroid that's going to slam into Earth next year or something and wipe us all out. And, I think that there's something to be said for just going out in the woods and experiencing nature and looking for an undiscovered giant 10-foot tall primate that could potentially heal you.
Yeah,
make you feel better.
That's for real. And you're unplugged, for one thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the combination, I think, of both those. You're unplugged from the anxiety-inducing stream of information.
Yeah.
And then you're out there, kind of where we were meant to be all along, yeah. I think. And there, I agree with you.
Yeah, maybe completely. God put Bigfoot on Earth so people like me would have something to do other than sit and panic about what's going to kill me.
Yeah. And it would get you out there, yeah. Right? I mean, we've talked about this in a certain way, like with Bigfoot TV and finding Bigfoot in particular has gotten a whole generation of people, families out in the woods.
Yeah.
Even if it is just for that walk in their metro park or what have you, but it's gotten you out.
Yeah.
And I think that's a great good.
Yeah, I'm excited. I'm just excited to go out and see parts of the country I haven't seen yet. Mm-hmm. Or experience things like I do want there to be callbacks. Season one called there were the Minerva thing called back to Minerva. And this season I think is going to be kind of the Whitehall callback.
Mm-hmm.
And then probably season three will have a Boggy Creek callback. Mm-hmm. And like that's if I can, even if SDM collapses tomorrow, more than likely I would continue doing On the Trail of Bigfoot, like whenever I could, just because I think we can, even if people just stop watching it entirely, I just am enjoying that it's funny because I don't talk about it that much as being like, it's not my favorite production experience. We talk a lot about the Pacific Northwest trip, but it wasn't like making it, the editing was the most stressful thing because I was having to re-edit. I mean, you watched a lot of the rough cuts. They completely changed, especially that first episode. Mm-hmm. It was a very frustrating editing experience, but I do think there is something about it like that speaks more to like my love of travel than maybe like some of the other, I guess UFOs does too. But anyway, that does it for this episode. Yeah. I don't know what this was about, but we're making On the Trail of Bigfoot season two, and we're excited to get into it. And
I think the chances are good of us seeing bears too, which I'm pretty excited about as well.
Bear and did you, that spirit bear?
Yes.
Dude, I had no idea that thing existed.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. So I'm really hoping I can see one of those. I mean, apparently it's just a black bear. It's just like a species. Or a subspecies of, I had no idea. Never heard of that.
If we see it though, we'll achieve enlightenment or something.
Spirit
won't we?
Bear. Yeah. 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 Just hopefully it doesn't turn into the scene from The Revenant.
Right.
So On the Trail of Bigfoot season two kicks off. I don't know what the first trip is going to be yet as far as like filming expeditions go. Like I said, BC is part of it. New York is part of it. Just from a budgetary standpoint, I'll probably have one big trip like this each season, and then the rest will be closer to home base. So I can drive to a place and film and head out. I know we haven't done anything in Kentucky yet. So I feel like Kentucky probably needs to play a role in season two. And Tennessee is also on my mind. So potentially like New York, Tennessee, Kentucky. I don't know that Ohio will be in this season. I feel like Ohio got covered pretty extensively in season one, especially with like Don Keating's involvement. Mm-hmm. So we might get out of Ohio for that season. West Virginia is on the table because I really want to go out with Les. I like Les a lot, but I also just want to see what it's like going out with him in the woods when he investigates stuff. He spends a lot of time out there by himself. So I'm excited about that too. So yeah, for sure, West Virginia. So anyway, that will come out sometime next year.
Bigfoot's back.
Bigfoot's back. If you like the show, you can leave a rating and review on iTunes. You can send us a mail
to
monsteropolismail@gmail.com. We'll be back next week. Come see us at Mysteries and Monsters. You've got like 1 week to get your tickets. All right, bye.
Monsteropolis is proudly presented on Wadsworth Community Radio 97.1 FM or streaming live at wadsworthcommunityradio.com. It is proudly underwritten by Thurber's Jewelers on the Square in downtown Wadsworth.